When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Thai Tuesday. Thai Law brought to you this week by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. And the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Thai Law, joins us this morning. Hello, Thai.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. By the way, excellent Instagram story from you over the weekend with Bill Belichick. Where were you?
Oh, I was down in New Orleans, man. Down in New Orleans. We were down in our old stomping grounds where we started the dynasty at the first Super Bowl, man. It was first. I think that was the first time I've been back in that place since that game, man. So it was good to see Bill. It was good to be back down in New Orleans. I ate well, man. It's some good ass food down there, bro.
Did Bill say he misses us, or?
You know what? We didn't get into that, but he probably don't.
Yeah, no, I don't think he misses anybody here.
He's living a good life.
I don't think he misses the media. I don't think he misses.
He living his best life right now, man.
Yeah, you did get $100 out of him for the swear jar, so that was well done. That was well done.
Oh, yeah. You know, I told you, Bill, he'd probably fill it up as much as I would. You know, we were doing our thing down there, doing a little something for the upcoming Super Bowl. Wait till you guys see it, man. But, you know, when you got to do your takes, man, Bill, he always going to throw out one, Wiggy.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Oh,
he's going to throw out one. So I could have got a lot more than that. I'm like, damn, Bill.
Any gossip about
a whole lot to the foundation?
Ty, any gossip about his next steps as a head coach? Anything sneak out when you guys were talking?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you.
Oh man,
Ooh, that sounds like. See, if Bill wasn't thinking about a return to coaching, then I don't think anything. I think he would have shut it right down, and Ty would just tell us that he shut it right
down.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That's an interesting response.
Yeah. But see, I got to give you something to keep on talking about. What kind of guy would I be? What kind of friend would I be to tell our damn conversation? That was me and Bill conversation. But guess what? I do have certain info, but I ain't about to give it to you now. Oh no, we don't have to wait for this one.
Okay.
Ty, hypothetically speaking, if you were to get Bill Belichick a car, would it be a Jaguar?
Curtis. Curtis. I'm from the hood. I don't go for the bull. So let's move on. Move on to the next. Hey, Wiggy, tell him where I'm from, Wiggy. Tell him where I'm from.
Aliquippa, boy. He ain't dry snitching.
You're damn right. Hey, you can't get me on the stand.
Well, Ken's from there, too, and he's not exactly. Anyway.
That's classic. That is classic. So
a lot to talk about after the blowout Sunday in Miami. I'm going to start with what you were like after a loss, and this story that one troublemaker, but from several media members who were in that locker room and found themselves surprised with how cheery and smiley and happy some of those guys were. What were you like after a loss, and is that an issue for you when it comes to the way they reacted?
Man, that bothers the hell out of me, Greg. I mean, if you go out there to do a job, if you put, you know, your heart and your soul into something every day and every week preparing for the game, and you go out there to lose, you're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be smiling. Now, it ain't the end of the world. You know, you live to play another game, you know, live another day. But at the same time, take some pride in what you do. You know, when you're out there, I had a situation like that in New York. I say, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. You know what I mean? And it was just the culture and the energy wasn't what I was used to, because a loss is just another day, you know, at the office. No, it's not acceptable. I mean, you're trying to go out there and win. So, and when you're putting on a performance like that and the season is going like it's going, no one should be smiling around there. No one should be smiling. Maybe a couple of them smiling on check day. That's about it. You know what I mean? But other than that, should nobody be smiling up in there? Nor should any of the coaches be smiling, in my opinion.
Man, I used to love them Tuesday check days. Hey, Ty, how does Gerard, though, because you and I both think he's a good coach, but how does he change that culture where if you have some players that, you know, could be like that in the locker room, how does he change the culture to, you know, fix that issue?
I mean, one, for Gerard, he's like, you know what? Sometimes as a coach, you got to take the pressure, even though they're the ones on the field, take the pressure off them, say, it's on me, I got to do a better job. And then that might give some of those players like, man, coaches riding for us. We got to do better for them. I mean, because he's getting a lot of flack for saying what he said afterwards. Like, he can't do it. I don't know what the exact quote was, but I've been hearing it everywhere and everywhere you're talking about it. Because y'all refresh my memory as far as what he said he can't do nothing for him.
Once the players cross the white lines, he can't do anything for them.
See, and now, Wiggy, we know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
See, we know what he's talking about. We're saying it's like, hey, we did everything we had to do through the week. Hey, we're giving you the best game plan. Or, you know, we're thinking we put you in the best situation to succeed with the game plan and with the prep week. And I can't do nothing for you because he can't go out there and tackle and do none of that and make an impact on the field. But that is the wrong thing to say when you're talking to the consumer who's watching, the fan. They don't understand what he's saying. Wait, what do you mean? Yes, you can do something because you got to coach. You got to coach better. You got to call better plays. But we knew as players what he meant. You know what I mean? So I think that he needs to, you know, come across a little bit different. Think about, you know, what he says before he said, because you're not just talking to, you know, your team. That is something that you can say in the locker room. But you can't say that out because it's leaving the door open for everybody to come in and chime in and speculation, this and that, who's never probably even been in the locker room before.
Robert Kraft is out on a limb, I think, with Gerard Mayo, because he suggested that he identified him as Bill's replacement 5 years ago. But is he, Wiggy said, you know, Ty, you agree with me, he's a good coach. Is he the right guy to run this organization going forward? And if not, are you wasting valuable time when it comes to the development of Drake May if you give him another season?
No, I don't think anyone thought, even Mr. Kraft, that he was going to come in and change everything right now. They're going to go back to a winning program. It doesn't happen like that. This is the NFL. It takes time. And then when you have a rookie quarterback, yeah, he's playing good for a rookie. But if he was 4 or 5 years in the line, do you think that is great quarterback play? Let's be honest with ourselves when we're talking about the team.
He's got a ton of interceptions.
No, he wasn't great. Exactly. Because he's a rookie. He gets a pass. And rightfully so. Gerard is also a rookie when it comes to a head coach. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt until he brings his own guys in. We got to assess players, okay, year two for the quarterback, year two and three, what are you going to do, Gerard, as a head coach? Who are you going to bring in there? Are you going to have money to spend to bring in free agents? Because New England, I'll say it again, it's not a hot destination anymore for veteran players. And if you ain't backing up the Brinks truck, you know what I mean? It's not like that anymore. So you got to give Gerard time to get some of his guys in there. As far as the culture, that starts with Gerard. Now, he's totally responsible for the culture and who he brings in. Those leaders in the as players in the locker room, they control that. And I want to see who's going to step up from a player standpoint and say, this is how we're going to be in this locker room. You know what I mean? We're going to leave all the outside noise out. We had 10 guys in our locker room that would, you know, manage everything. You know what I mean? Bill didn't even have to come downstairs. I don't see that with this team. I mean, they're all over the place. They have so many holes right now. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft, because you know they're going to pick high. I would trade down and load up. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, we talked
too many pieces.
We talked about this yesterday a little bit, and we used Bill Belichick as an example, but I'll use a different one. If Mike Vrabel were the head coach of this football team, would their record be different right now?
With them players?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 games. They got to have some players. You know, he might have done better from a situational standpoint. You know, the brain of Mike Vrabel, you know, in certain situations, which Gerard will be new to, being that he has been a head coach, he probably makes some different decisions here and there and might get more games out of it. But will we be talking about them contending for the playoffs with that roster? I don't think so.
Well, Ty, we were talking about the fall off from the defense yet again in Miami, though. And while it's not fair to compare him to Bill, it is fair to talk about the fact that everybody told us going into it, this is a defensive guy. The defense is going to be great. They're going to be great. Right. Are you surprised with how bad the defense has gotten in his rookie season coaching?
You know what? I thought the defense would be a lot better, too. And I was putting that on Gerard to be able to maintain certain, you know, integrity with the defense. I mean, to create a certain culture when it comes to the defense, because he is a defensive guy. He did like to hit people. You know what I mean? And it's an attitude when it comes to a defensive player. You're talking about a defensive coach, offensive coach. It is an attitude and a mindset when you're talking about defense. So I am totally shocked, disappointed, and everything when it comes to the defense, because when it comes to secondary play, I'm like, how many times are you going to let a receiver get 100-plus yards? I don't give a damn. That's a smack in the face. You got to have some pride. You know, how many tackles are you going to miss? You know what I mean? No communication back there in the secondary. That's what Gerard was. He was a quarterback of a defense. You know, he's a linebacker. He's putting everybody in place. So it's like it pisses you off. It's like, hey, you know what it is. Get somebody in there, even if you got to – find a version of yourself to be able to help that defense. You know what I mean? I would expect the offense to be not as good, but defense to be that bad with a head coach like Gerard Mayo, who played the position and played the game at a high level, I don't understand that one. I'm baffled, guys, about that one.
Ty, Wiggy talks often about the culture that you guys had when you first started the dynasty, and you know, you and Willie and Teddy and Wiggy and everybody that was able to keep others in line. Has Gerard reached out to you? Or I mean, I feel like it would be a great opportunity for you guys to go and talk to the team and explain, you know, what the Patriot culture is and what they should build it back to.
No, we talked about it earlier, the gum talk to the defense and the DBs. We just haven't got around. I haven't heard from him. I mean, hell, they're too busy losing, getting their ass whipped to call. Yeah, okay, you know, you got a lot going on around there. So he might be too busy to pick up the phone call. But I definitely would go down there, and especially that a secondary down there. I mean, you have a lot of upside. And again, you know, Chris Gonzalez, he can play. Once it gets a little bit more consistent, he can play. He's going to be a Pro Bowler for a long time. He needs some help. You know what I mean? So from a defensive standpoint, you know, I think, you know, getting us down there, you know, guys that had success and we played together the way we played, you know, it would be a good idea at some point in the offseason to get us down there with those guys and talk to them, because I'd be glad to.
And, Ty, I have to tell you, James has totally changed his behavior since he met you. So you've had a great impact on him. He's been much more focused. He's listened ever since my son, who met you at the bowling event. He's been much more dedicated to his craft. He's been running the right routes. Everything's been going swimmingly. So I thank you for that.
I'm ready. I'm no doubt.
Well, Curtis, the one thing I would say, and Ty knows this better than anything, is you as a player have to be willing to accept that, right? You got to be willing to accept to hear from, you know, the guys who came before you and maybe a comeback.
Right.
I'm not sure if there are a lot of guys in that locker room.
You mean somebody who has the best hands in the NFL may not be listening?
Yeah, they might not be receptive to. They might be like, oh, it's just another, you know, another old head, you know, sitting on his, standing on his soapbox trying to lecture us about, you know, the game today. And so I think that's the biggest thing. And I don't know how many of those guys.
You said something earlier about Drake May. Do you feel like we are overblowing where he is development wise, like gushing too much?
I think we pushing the cart before the horse a little bit. But you think about this. Just go back to Mac Jones, his rookie year. What was everybody saying? Right,
pretty good.
It's the sophomore slump. That's what everybody talking about, what he's going to do the next year, because our expectations from a rookie quarterback ain't too high in the beginning. So anything that he does is like, okay, great. When he does something, he runs and he throws a dart, he throws a great pass, it's overblown. That's what you came here to do. I mean, you throw the damn ball, you're supposed to be accurate. But when he makes a mistake, oh, he's a rookie. Oh, bonehead rookie mistake. So, he got the benefit of the doubt, regardless. Now, after you get a year under your belt, what are you going to do next year? That's going to tell us what we need to know in year two and year three. That's either going to make you or it's going to break you. But right now, it's too early to tell, because no matter what he does, he can always fall back on that he's a rookie and he don't got too much help and he doesn't have an offensive line. So, you know, the future's looking good for what he's working with. But now that when people figure you out, next year, let's see what you can do. Start doing a whole training camp as a starter. Coming into the season, people kind of pegged you from last year. When they go back and study the film, can you get better, you know, from your rookie year? But if you're going to stay right here, guys, and you're not getting better, because he's not showing me that, hey, you know, this is the next one. Oh, this is the next great one. No, he's playing decent rookie ball, showing some signs. But it ain't like, you know, you're ready to cash in all your chips on it. No, you're not. He's not there yet.
Time now for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro.
I like the Austin Hooper touchdown that he threw. Scramble, like kind of getting outside the pocket, rolling out to his right, and then throwing down a Hooper down at like the 1 yard.
You don't like the ball that Kendrick Bourne threw?
No, not that one. He threw that thing like it was a hot potato. Like he had a grenade in his hand.
I got to agree with you, Wiggy. I mean, he fouled him on the scramble. He looked downfield, you know, and you know it was good. It was a good throw. And he threw it pretty far to be on the run.
Right.
You know,
can't really give it to Gonzalez because you know you're supposed to scoop score that one. I mean, that's like easy money. You're supposed to scoop score that. Outrun offensive lineman.
If he wouldn't have scored, that would have been a blooper.
Right.
If he wouldn't have scored on that one. That was too easy right there. So you got to give it to Drake May for that. And see, when plays like that goes back to the point before, you're going to be like, you know what? We got something here. Because when you see that, he gives you that glimmer of hope. But then he goes off and throws interception. Or then he goes off and fumble. You know? Okay, that's just the rookie stuff. No, it's still a fumble and it's still an interception. So, you know, again, I'm not putting too much into this. I just like the direction that he's going. You know, I think we may have us one, but again, let's slow down for a little bit and not give too much props, because they have a lot of holes to fill.
Ty, all year I do it, but this time of the year especially, I give thanks for you and what you bring to this program.
Did we talk to Ty before we let him go about, did he have any connection with Bryce Underwood, the Michigan quarterback who got a boatload of bread?
Yeah, we haven't asked him yet if he contributed to that $10.5
million. Man, hell to the no. Man, but Brady did. Did they say Brady called him?
Yeah, I think they was talking to Tom.
Yeah, see, hey, well, you know, talking to me is like, hey man, you shut the hell up, man. It's Brady, you know. There's levels of this, man. I know when to step back, you know. When Brady come around, we all fall back a little bit. So, you know, that was the best recruiting tool that they could ever had if Tom Brady called him, and I think he can pretty much get anybody there to Michigan. They need to call Brady to help recruit in New England. Hell.
Yeah, they should. I think he's focused,
if he's
focused on the Raiders, but whatever.
Hey, don't nobody know him as a damn Raider. I mean, it's good that he's able to put himself in a position for ownership. I mean, really respect that. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter where he's played, Tom Brady is a Patriot, man. You know what I mean? And, hell, if you can use that to get somebody in here, man, you better make that call.
What are you doing Thursday?
I'm going to PA.
You are.
Yeah, I'm going back home, man. So I'm gonna get some of that good cooking. I'm gonna have to hit the treadmill for the 5 days in a row because it's getting cold outside. I like to work outside, so I'm gonna be on that treadmill because I know I'm gonna be a fat ass. I'm already too heavy.
Does your mom make one specific thing traditionally every year that you love?
You ain't gonna want to hear this, but we man, my mom be cooking the hell out of some ham.
Ooh,
oh boy,
you love the ham.
Macaroni and cheese. Oh man, I mean, not the kind you put on top of the stove either. The kind you put in the oven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the kind of stuffing you put on top of the stove. The kind you put in the oven. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, we gonna get it in, Greg.
Yeah. All right. Well,
remember that pineapple juice dripping off that ham.
Gross. What? Disgusting.
What? Mm.
Oh, thank you.
Ew, give me some dry white turkey. That sounds so appetizing.
It does sound really good.
Gross. Ham over turkey.
And then the leftover and the sandwiches afterwards, the ham sandwiches the next day after. Oh, marinate. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. So good.
Mm.
Some of that sweet potato with some of that sweet potato juice.
Or yam juice, ooh, whichever.
Or yam juice, whichever you prefer.
Yep.
I sprinkle that over everything.
What's your go-to pie choice?
Oh, wow.
Ty.
Oh, man. I gotta say, that sweet potato, man. I mean, you got to go sweet potato, man. That's because it's tradition. But if they make it right, but all sweet potato pies are not created equal. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been had some sweet potato. They done just left too many strings in it. I'm like, God damn. I thought I was chewing dental floss. I'm like, God damn.
Got to be smooth.
Yeah.
All right.
And guess what? I ain't opposed to pumpkin either, too. I don't get that twist. I like pumpkin pie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do both.
Pumpkin's great. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving. We will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right, guys.
That is Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday. And here is Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
And just quickly before I forget, because Kurt has just brought it up again, yams and sweet potatoes are not related. I looked that up on the old Google machine.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, to read directly, yams and sweet potatoes differ in flavor and appearance, and they are not related. Sweet potatoes are in the morning glory family, while yams belong to the lily family.
Oh,
yams
knew?
Aren't as sweet as sweet potatoes, and they are starchier and drier.
Okay. All
but
right.
Are they both potatoes?
I don't know. Just saying, different families, not related.
Have you had yams?
I think I don't like them.
If you've never had them.
But I think I have had them before, and I just don't like them.
They taste very similar to sweet potatoes.
There you go. There's the difference. Huh.
Okay. The more you know. Kristaps Porzingis is back. He helped the Celtics get to a 126-94 win.
I thought I had to be right all the time. I just forget.
You got to try some candy yams, Courtney.
I was just making sure that you were aware. So you didn't make that mistake.
We can bring
again.
The map back, too. We can do that.
What? What'd you say?
We can bring the map back.
Oh, you're bringing it up again. Central New Jersey. You and I both wrong.
Nope. Central New Jersey, top of the shore. Okay, two separate things.
Who's that Twitch person?
Mitch.
Mitch. Mitch. Put up a picture.
You've only worked with him for the last couple of years.
I wasn't sure who it was. Put up a picture of some candy yams for Courtney. And when you see the candy yams, you're going to be like, ooh, okay. Because they look just like sweet potatoes.
Wait, you're out here selling candied yams? Like that's something that we should try? No, I've never tried one.
Oh, I mean, it's just like sweet potatoes. If you like sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top, yeah. My wife does it with the marshmallows, then you'll love candy yams. I mean, this, like I said, they're similar. Look at those are candy yams.
Yeah, that looks good.
Put the one with the marshmallow on top.
That doesn't look that good.
I like to do marshmallows on top of my sweet potatoes.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Celtics get a win. They are off now till Friday for an NBA Cup game in Chicago. The Bruins have the Canucks at the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7.
There you go, Courtney, a non sequitur.
Delicious.
You know, starch me up.
Starch me up.
Yeah. Candy yams look good.
Yep. Jim Montgomery got a win in his first game as the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, and Monday Night Football had the Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
A plus, Courtney. It is currently 42 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high of 40.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Gerard Mayo on this show yesterday suggesting that at times perhaps he does coach scared. Like, for instance, you got a 4th and short and you're not going for it when your team has 3 wins and not much to look forward to. But I guess he's saying what you say, Wiggy, all the time, which is give him a little while. Mm-hmm. He's learning on the job.
But I will say this. I wouldn't necessarily call it coaching scared. I would say it's more of a defensive-minded coach style of coaching. Because even last night on my beloved Manning cast, it was, I want to say it was like 4th and 1 or something along those lines, and Belichick goes, all right, kick the field goal up 10, field goal and go up 10-0. They lined up to go for it.
So it's less coaching scared and more having confidence in your defense.
Or it's just a defensive mindset of like the way you do things. Like when you think of like guys.
I mean, Bill coached scared the last couple of years here. I mean, they were at 4th and 2 at the plus 45 against Aaron Rodgers in overtime with Bailey Zappi, a chance to get 6 more yards and win the game, and you punted it to Aaron Rodgers and went down the field in 3 plays and kicked a field goal. You had several times where they were conservative. There was booing at Gillette last year, down big to the Saints, took a knee before halftime. I think what we're seeing here is less of a divide between Mayo and Bill in the continuation of a roster that's not good enough to win in the NFL.
Mm. But I would also say it's just glaringly through the NFL and coaches. Generally, a defensive-minded coach is a little bit more conservative and will play the failed position game, where when you start to see like a Dan Campbell who's going for it on 4th and 1 everywhere, or you'll start to see those guys tend to lean towards an Andy Reid. Offensive-minded guys are a little bit more aggressive at times. And it's just the way that you're taught the
game.
But
Bill was aggressive when he was playing Peyton or Mahomes. Like, I feel like...
But overall, though, is what I'm saying. Right, like, right, if you were just from...
Frankie Bear in the Twitch chat says, shut up, Wiggy. He's coaching not to lose the game. He is coaching scared. So.
No, he's coaching conservative, defensively. That's how... What are the things defense say? We're going to play good defense, we're going to run the football, and we're going to win the field position battle.
Turnover battle.
Yeah, and turnover, where an offensive guy will go, you know, we got to be aggressive. 4th and 1... Let's go for it. That's why you see a lot of these young, innovative Mike McDaniels guys going for it on the new analytics things going for 4th and 1.
And, Greg, I got to run to a big Thanksgiving Day party for James's school, but I have a hot take to leave you with.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Is there food?
I think so, yeah, banana bread.
I would have liked to have gone to that.
Well, your Uncle Greg, he loves you more than me, so you're invited anywhere. Just what Ty said about Bill not wanting to divulge what happened, I believe Diana Russini 100% now. Bill Belichick is the next head coach and general manager of the Jaguars.
You do?
Done.
Well,
really? It's the only one that would be signed, sealed, and delivered now. There's no way that Jerry Jones has already done this, I don't believe. And it's an opportunity for him to go to the state without income tax, to be an hour and a half, well, probably like a 20-minute flight from Jupiter, and he is ready
and
to go.
And complete control. Like, Shot Khan would give him complete control.
And he will spend like Courtney at Lululemon this offseason because he'll be the one saying, look, Robert, when I have an owner that wants to spend, I want to spend. It was on you back in Foxborough.
And you got that from Ty because Ty wouldn't say anything about it.
And God bless.
Interesting.
And I'm sorry I was wrong about yams. Bye.
Curtis, thank you. See you tomorrow morning.
Give James a hug for us.
Yeah. Yes, enjoy the Thanksgiving Day party. And at Jacksonville's a good spot because you have a good quarterback that I think just needs the right coaching.
Well, going into the season, that owner, Shad Khan, said that this was the best roster that the franchise had ever assembled.
Right.
So he clearly is looking for a savior. He clearly believes that Doug Peterson is not the guy, and therefore maybe he's willing to cede and willing to tell his GM to cede all control to the great Belichick.
That's a mess. I'm sorry. If your owner's coming out there and saying it's the best roster that you've put together, and that's the team that's on the field. I'm sorry. I don't care that Trevor Lawrence has been hurt and you put Mac Jones in. Mac Jones can't be that bad that the best roster that you've ever put together can't get wins. If you're Bill Belichick, I wouldn't want to end my career in Jacksonville.
You got some guys that are hurt, though. Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis. I mean, you got some talent. And where it's like with my lead this morning, the Chargers. When you look at the Chargers, what's the difference? The coach has changed the culture. Yeah. It's in sports, we talk about it all the time. When Ty was on, we talk about it. It's about the culture that you create. And if a guy like Bill comes in, he is instantly going to change the culture of that new organization and everybody in the building. Those players might not know him, but they're going to hear the whispers about Bill Belichick, and if you don't do your job, your gas is going to be up out of here.
I mean, it seems like the Giants' job will also be available.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's any way that they can keep Daboll there.
Oh, no. But their issue is, now it becomes your quarterback situation. Right. They're going to have to go, Bill will have a young quarterback, but if he feels like they got a good defense, he feels like, okay, I can get a young quarterback, I can bring in a good coach, you know, offensive coordinator to help this guy, but we're going to be a good defense. I can win with a guy like that. It's about the culture that he'll look at and go, I can change the culture of this organization. And that's what teams are going to hire him for. When you look at the teams that are in dysfunction, that are losing, that we don't understand why when they have decent talent, what's the one thing that everybody talks about? The culture.
Do you think Josh McDaniels goes with Bill?
I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see. I could definitely see Bill saying, hey, listen, and this is
that
a way.
Certainly help Trevor Lawrence.
It will help Trevor Lawrence, but it will also help Josh because, hey, Josh, I'm getting back in, but I'm not going to be around here long. So let's say Bill goes somewhere and he's able to turn a franchise around and Josh is potted out with the new quarterback.
We brought up Flores, too. Would Flores be a guy that he would bring back to
I think B. Flo,
defense and then end up being a head coach?
I think B. Flo might be getting another head coaching job after the season because
we were saying about him becoming to the Patriots.
No,
coordinator yesterday.
Who was saying that? I think Curtis just threw that out there. But yeah. I'm like, he's going to be the job that he's doing. He's definitely going to be on the short list of head coaches next year. But Josh McDaniels, it could be a good way for him to build back up that goodwill and maybe get another gig in a couple of years because he's still a young guy.
All right. Jones and Keefe coming up at 10. A reminder that if you cannot listen to them or this show or anything here at WEEI on the radio, you can always stream it at WEEI.com. When you're up Thursday morning, bright and early, brining the bird, all you have to do is listen on WEEI.com or on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or you can just politely ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. The Celtics get Kristaps Porzingis back, and you can talk about that all day long, including next with Jones and Keefe. We will talk about that tomorrow on Celtics Wednesday with Mego on this show at 9. Last day of work this week tomorrow, and then the big holiday. By the way, Courtney,
yep.
I don't know where you stand on the food prep as you and Santo are hosting for the first time, but you had an issue this morning during your lead at 6:20, the full anxiety about washing the bird, not washing the bird, salmonella, yep. All of those things. You can let Blue Ribbon Barbecue take the stress out of your Thanksgiving celebration, whether you're hosting a cozy gathering, which you are, or a large group. They have you covered with a mouthwatering feast complete with flavorful sides, delectable desserts, and more. And you can enjoy hassle-free pickup at Time Out Market Boston. Just place your order, and they will take care of the rest. If you are, and you're not eligible, unfortunately, but if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line on a Time Out Tuesday, we will hook you up with a gift card. And so if you're going to mail it in, like right. Courtney and Santo on Thursday, mm-hmm. then take full advantage of this. Call right now, 617-931-0937. Be caller number 9, and you can let Blue Ribbon Barbecue at Time Out Market Boston do all the work, and then he can act like you did all the work.
That's a good idea.
That is a really good idea. Yeah. So. Don't waste your time. You're struggling. Clearly, you don't know how to cook the bird, right. And there's issues, and you're worried about bacteria and all this, getting people sick. Just do the sides and just have them, you know, go pick the bird up.
Yeah, those are the money makers anyway, yeah, the sides. That's what people want.
Yeah.
The turkey is really a device to get the sides into your mouth.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, you feel like you might be right about that. Yeah, the sides are the money maker?
Yeah. And the turkey is basically to dip in said sides and put in your mouth.
That's it. If you like turkey, we use ham.
Right, yep.
The ham is like, course. But yeah, I would agree with you that the sides are more important. You know, they come before the ham, and ham is part of, all right, whether I'm going ham, mac and cheese, this dip, or I'm going ham stuffing, mm-hmm. or maybe ham sweet potatoes, or maybe I'm going all orgy ham, sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, and stuff in one big scoop.
Yeah. So you're right. Are you traveling somewhere, or are you staying around? Are you hosting in the city?
Yeah, no, my wife, she cooks. We don't host.
What do you mean you don't host?
Like, you will have my daughter and her fiance
come
over.
Well, that's hosting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's my daughter. I don't really call it hosting. Like, do you call it hosting when you're... I think I'm hosting when it's other than your kids. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you're still hosting. You two, you're empty nesters.
Right, but...
So you're hosting everybody at your place in the city.
But I could just be there laying in my, you know, shorts and chilling, mm-hmm. and not have to worry about getting dressed because it's...
Can the boys come home or no?
No, the boys are in school. My wife and I think we're going to go down tomorrow after I get off, and she's going to cook them some Thanksgiving food and bring it to them. And then we'll go down, drop that off, and come back. But no. I don't like to host, Greg, because then it's like, you know, I like to just be relaxing. Oh. Then after you eat, you know, sometimes I want to be in my own home court when I'm using my restroom.
Oh, I cannot wait. Like, I want to.
I knew that's what it was about. Yeah,
I want to have a house solely to be able to host, like, big gatherings on the holidays.
But the problem is you might be like, all right, I'm tired. People then don't want to leave.
No, stay all night. It doesn't matter. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, you say that now.
I can't wait. All my kids' friends, I want to come over.
You say that now. You'd be like, damn, when are these kids going to leave? Santo, yeah. Say the word. Get everybody to get gone.
Well, it's I
are you hosting?
No, well,
that's right. You're going to Jersey. So you're being...
Yeah, and I just have to... I have to get that drive out of the way, and then I will be fine, but it's... I can't even get agreement from my two lovely children about what time we should leave.
Oh, so you guys are all going together?
Yeah, Julia wants to leave early. Brees has to work, wants to leave late. So I don't know. What's your guess, honestly, at the drive? If there were no traffic, it's 4.5 hours.
To Jersey.
But it's tomorrow.
Mm. You're hitting traffic.
It's going to be like...
Add at least like, another hour and a half.
At least?
Yeah.
What a freaking nightmare.
True.
Like, it's going to be... it's
Rhode Island, Connecticut,
yeah,
New
Connecticut.
York.
New York.
Oh, you're going through, like, the worst states possible when it comes to traffic.
Because Connecticut's that, like, two-lane highway both ways where it just feels like...
Oh, the Merritt Parkway
And then when you get to, like, Hafid, that's... Like, they're always working on those roads, and
I think it's literally going to take me an hour. If we leave at 5, which is...
In the afternoon?
The prevailing wisdom. Yes, that's because Priest has to work. Ooh. I'm sorry, there are still some people who work in this country.
Did I say an hour and a half? So, two and a half hours.
It's going to take two hours from Boston to be out of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
2 hours, you're looking at Providence.
Yeah, so you might say a 4.5 hour trip normally, you would have to at least factor in 7 hours.
Ugh.
Because I didn't know you were leaving at... Why can't you leave at, like, 10 or 11?
Because of Breeze.
No, but he said he gets out of work at 5.
You mean 10 or 11 at night?
Yeah.
Oh.
If there's a 3 of you guys, you can split
up
driving.
I'm up at 4 in the morning. I'm not going to be awake at 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Let one of your kids start driving. Yeah.
Are you all driving together?
Me, Brees, and Julia are driving together.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right. Yeah. So maybe Brees and Julia could do the first few hours while you take a quick nap, but you won't have to sit in traffic.
That will be a very long drive if you're sitting in traffic, three of you.
But if he leaves at 10 o'clock, that's 11, 12, 1, 2, you get in at 2:30, then you can go to sleep and you'll be able to sleep until, 10:30, 11.
Well, it's the magic of the holidays.
Yep.
Well, that's what we look forward to.
We'll follow
hours.
You on IG.
Yeah, follow me. Yeah. All right, and speaking of the magic of the holidays, one more giant thank you for the Christmas tree that we have here in the studio.
Yes.
And I want to thank all the whole entire crew over at Christmas Trees for me. They did a great job with it. You're happy with everything? Lights
Love.
And bulbs you light? You're happy with it?
Better than I could have imagined.
Everything.
And if you can't watch on Twitch this morning, but you still want to see the tree, please go watch and enjoy our reel of us of picking it out.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if you're new to content, but I didn't make Courtney pull the thing through. Like, some of these things we do for comedic effect, I didn't make her pull it through the tree machine or whatever. I didn't make her move it by her. These people are so gullible when it comes to content.
It's crazy.
I did all the work.
It's great. I mean, I would just say great acting.
It is easy, though. Like, once you walk in and it's already lit and everything's done for you.
I mean, it's so simple. Yeah. It removes the number one thing that people fight about during the holidays, and that is the tree. All right,
now, it looks massive here, but the guy actually had to cut about a foot and a half off of it.
He
put it up, and it looked like the tree from Christmas Vacation. It was hitting the ceiling.
It is.
We were deciding whether to take one of the ceiling panels out or cut it. And so we cut it.
That's why you can't go with a traditional style. Yeah.
I got to add some water before I leave.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great job today, Jack, filling in for Scheim, who is in London.
Thank you.
Jones and Kiefer next. We are back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.